A year ago yesterday, I was involved in a major motorcycle accident. And I'm not telling it for the reasons that one might think. I'm telling it for an experience that led up to it and what has since happened. In August, I saw a brochure for a motorcycle. And just so we're clear, that's my workshop. That's where I've become balanced and at peace. And I saw this motorcycle and this brochure that just made my heart sing. And, you know, for an inanimate object, anyway, I wanted it. And then I said out loud, there's no way I can afford this. And then September 14th of last year, as I was returning home, traffic scenario required my motorcycle and I to part at about 40 miles an hour. Before I hit the pavement, I heard Source Energy's voice in my head say, relax and roll, here we go. That allowed me at that point in time to go completely limp. Immediately afterwards, there were people in business suits sitting on the pavement holding my hand. And it was just a new realization of where humanity's heart really is. But where I am going with all of this, is it possible for your wants to override what you're allowing?
Yes, you can get out of balance. You can have desires that you're not a vibrational match to, and you can beat the drum of your desire until you have the energy moving faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, so that it will suck you toward it even though you're not faced in the right direction and have your wits about you.
Yeah, the motorcycle I was riding was destroyed. I was not. The one in the brochure is in my garage right now. And since that experience, I feel like I have a new life. Not in the sense that most people would consider, but just I spent 40 years being a pessimist. I spent 40 years disallowing. And I guess my question is can you be paddling upstream so hard that you knock yourself in the head with a branch?
Well, what happens is, this is what we think you're getting at. This is what you feel that you're reaching for words to explain. As the river guide told Jerry and Esther, this is not Disneyland and we cannot turn this river off. So we're telling you the same thing. Your life, even before this one, and everything that you've lived, which has caused you to put momentum into the stream as you add things to your vibrational escrow, all of this is causing the stream to go faster and faster. And you're going with the stream to some degree, whether you like it or not. It's inevitable that you must expand, you see. It's inevitable. You cannot cease to become. The question that this workshop wants to ask and answer is, are you going with the flow or against the current? Because you're always, to some degree, going with the flow. And that's why your question is so poignant. Is it possible for my desire to be so strong that even though I've got resistance, that things are still unfolding? And we say, yes, but it's a sort of bumpy ride.
Very.
The other thing that we want to say, and this is a very good story that parallels what you're telling, a family, a little girl about 8 or 9 years old, and her parents were new to listening to our recording several years ago. And they were studying the idea of being deliberate creators. And during the first year or two of them listening to the recordings every day, they were coming in for a landing at a little airport out in the desert. They had a private plane. And they were confused about the direction of the wind, and they came in from the wrong direction, and the plane flipped over and caught fire as they landed. And now the mother is sitting in the hot seat, and she's asking us, I don't know what to tell my daughter, because my daughter is now questioning, if we are deliberate creators, then why would we have an airplane crash? And we said, tell your daughter that she is an invincible little being, that you all are, that very few people have airplane crashes and walk away from them as you did, and that it is a statement of the power of who you are, with a little rumple in the vibration, but who you are, your intentionality, who you are as a source energy being and who you've become, that is the dominant vibration. In other words, the well-being is so prevalent, and the other is just sort of working the bugs out of it, you see. And we think that's what you walked away from all of that with. We like it when you realize that you are an energy being, and when you feel the discord in your energy and you do something about it. But if there's discord in your energy and you don't consciously recognize it and do something about it, don't worry, it will get bigger. The indication will get bigger. And if you still don't do something about it, don't worry, it will get bigger. The indication will get bigger. And what this has brought you to understand is that even with a pretty big indicator, it's just that, it's an indicator. So to you, what does that indicate? What did you walk away from that knowing? What was the discord in your vibration that you now know as a result of that?
Well, if I'm understanding your question correctly, it was exactly what Source said to me a week later as I was sitting in a recliner. Don't ever doubt my presence again. What it is you want, you will have.
And what did Source say to you while you were flying through the air with the greatest of ease?
Well, again, relax and roll. Here we go.
Here we.
We go.
We. Yeah. Here we. And what do you think you doubted before that? In other words, what do you think was most stuck in your vibrational craw?
What was most stuck?
You said, I will never have that motorcycle.
That's right.
I will never be able to afford that motorcycle. So what is that statement? What was the essence at the heart of that statement? I will never have this thing I want because...
Well, clearly I didn't think that I was deserving.
There you are.
Yeah.
That's what it was, wasn't it? And
yeah.
Now you understand that under all conditions, even under the condition of having an accident in traffic, even under the condition of flying through the air, that you were worthy enough that at that moment you heard Source's acknowledgement of your presence and Source's acknowledgement of your at oneness with that which is Source. Here we go.
I have never felt more at peace than in that exact
moment.
Or
more tended to, or more noticed, more in the gaze of the eyes of the power that creates worlds. And isn't that the height of worthiness? And
yeah.
So we're glad that what you really wanted, which we know you wanted the motorcycle, but that was far, 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 far less of a desire. What you wanted was to know your placement in the universe. What you wanted was to know how you were seen through the eyes of Source. What you wanted to was to know how you fit into the greater scheme of things. And if you have to get roughed up by a motorcycle to come to that, well, then we guess it's worth it.
I agree. Shortly after the experience, you know, I was in a state of newborn euphoria. Everything was clear. Everything was concise. It seems like as I continue on in the physical world, it becomes more clouded.
But think about what that was, because in those poignant moments, what did you know that you hadn't known before?
Just how connected I was.
I knew I was loved. I knew I was seen. I knew I was heard. I knew I was answered. And so, as things are cluttering up, do you think you're losing sight of that a little bit?
Perhaps. Perhaps.
It's really what all of this is about. Every word that we've spoken here today is about your story, isn't it? That you are Source energy, and that a part of you comes forth, and you have exposure to experiences which causes you to become more, and there's this vibrational variance between who you really are and who you're allowing yourself to be. And it's certainly all right if you test it in order to discover. In other words, that's what we said earlier. A lot of people have to croak in order to remember that they are pure positive energy and that all is really well. But it's so much nicer when you allow yourself to be a vibrational match while you're in your physical body rather than croaking to find that alignment. So now what?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I did croak for the values that I held and where my attention and focus was previously.
Because in croaking, you leave behind all doubt and fear. You leave behind all resistance. And in one fell swoop, you come into vibrational alignment with who you are. And that's the experience that you had, isn't it?
It is.
So now, think about what we said to you earlier. So you're born and you're one stream of energy. And then in the moment that you're born, it splits just a little bit. And then the more you find to fuss and worry about, the more it splits. But when you go to sleep, you come back into alignment. And then you find things to fuss and worry about. When you meditate, you come into alignment. And so, in essence, you croak every night as you slumber, meaning you leave behind all that resistance and come back into alignment. So you know that it's just a matter, when you feel less of that newbornness, less of that new eagerness for life, it only means you're finding more things to fuss and worry about, yes?
Yes. How does one arise consistently from slumber, from being reconnected to an immediate connection upon awakening?
Other really big, beautiful motorcycle. No, we're just kidding. No, we're just kidding.
Actually, my wants are different now. Yeah.
We were not really wanting to guide you to another accident for that newborn feeling. What we're really wanting you to do is to just turn downstream. Ask the question again. It was very poignant.
The question was, how does one consistently awake with that same type of connected feeling as when you say when you reconnect in slumber, to wake up with a zest and a drive?
In order to wake up with a zest, you have to go to sleep with one. Because when you wake up, you pick up the vibration right where you last left it. In other words, sleeping only distracts you from the vibration you've got going on. So what you really want to do is train your vibration into alignment. Here's what we would do. This is the formula that we would follow if we were asking the question, the wonderful question that you're asking, and we'll put it into these words. What is the best process for me to stay as tuned in, tapped in, turned on as possible? What are the logical steps to easy alignment from where I stand and from what I know? And we're speaking this specifically to you. So when you put yourself in your bed at night, we would lie in the bed prior to going to sleep, and we would reach for some subject that is easy to feel appreciation about. And we would focus upon it, and we would drift off to sleep in an attitude of appreciation. And if we feel ourselves, and sometimes when you're thinking of something that you appreciate, on one end of it is what you appreciate, and on the other end of it is the absence of it. In other words, every subject really is two subjects. So you have to sort of be determined to focus upon the appreciation end of the stick. We would go to sleep. And as we are drifting off to sleep, we would say, when I awaken in the morning, I'm going to pick up here right where I'm leaving off. Then when you awaken in the morning, first thing when you are aware that you are awake, return to that subject of appreciation and just lie there and bask in it just for a minute or two before you get out of bed. Then get up, do whatever it is that you need to do, brush your teeth, go get something to eat, and sit with an intention of quieting your mind for 10 or 15 minutes in an attitude of releasing thought so that you are consciously awake and in the absence of resistance. And when you come out of meditation, then go back as quick as you can to rampages of appreciation. And if you would follow that regimen for a very short period of time, you would discover that every morning you're waking up as that fresh newborn energy that you returned after your accident and that you were feeling even when you were first born into this physical body. It does not take much to tune yourself to the vibration of Source. But then, and here's the most important thing we want to say to you, do not hold yourself to that standard all day, every day. It's not wrong that you feel the hot stove. It's not wrong that you feel negative emotion. Negative emotion is guidance. Negative emotion is guidance. It means this thought. There are a lot of compelling things in this world that are negative in nature. There are a lot of things that are the components of desires that you want to launch that are initially negative in nature. So we don't want you to strike this strong bargain with yourself that I'm never again going to feel anything less than pure positive emotion, because you came forth in this body to decipher the contrast in order to give birth to desires. You just intended to lean down downstream. You just intended to be mostly reaching for the best feeling thoughts that you could find. But you never once said, I will go forth and I will put myself into a feathered nest and I will make sure that I never hear or witness anything that makes me feel any negative emotion. As if negative emotion is a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's guidance, you see. You're just wanting to mostly lean in the direction of who you really are. And if you are making that effort, then you're doing just fine. Look at the enormous benefit. And everyone heard it and felt it, and we think you would be the first one to shout it from the rooftops. Look at the enormous benefit that a somewhat negative experience brought to you. Now, we're not wishing more of that, but we cannot help but point out the benefit of contrast is enormous, isn't it?
Yeah.
So embrace the contrast for the powerful launching of rocket qualities that it has, and then just do your best to lean in the direction of who you really are, and it is our promise to you, you will live happily ever after, and you will have a zest for life that you're talking about, you see. Sometimes when people begin doing this work, they say, oh, at first, so many things just came to me. Bam, 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 bam. It was as if manifestation after manifestation came, and now I've sort of petered out. The manifestations aren't coming as fast. I wonder if I'm doing something wrong. And we say, it isn't that you're doing something wrong. It's that the contrast of your life caused you to put a whole lot of stuff in vibrational escrow that then you began to deliberately allow. But the process of life is putting the stuff in escrow and then allowing it. Putting the stuff in escrow and then allowing it. Putting the stuff in escrow. Can you hear that? In other words, we don't want you to live this life as if everything that's in the escrow was already there when you got here. It wasn't. The contrast that you're living is what's putting it in the escrow. And so can you see how the perfect life is to live a little contrast and put it there and then line up with it and receive it, and live a little contrast and put it there and then line up with it and receive it? We want you to reach the place where it's the ride on the stream that you're really reaching for, not the manifestations. It's the joyous ride on the stream.
Indeed. Well, as I would like to reinforce the point you're making, the contrast I had in the previous 40 years was without this wisdom and logic that you brought forth into my world. So since I've been exposed to your teachings, I've started flowing downstream.
So would you say that that first 40 years, and we don't agree with you that it was all that way, and we don't think you mean it either, but so would you say that for the first 40 years you were primarily step one-ing?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
Well, we are being tricky. Step one is the contrast helps you to ask. And you can't help but do that. Life just causes you to ask. Step two is source answers. And that's not your work. Source answers and responds and bees the vibrational equivalent of what you're asking for. Step three is what your work is, and it's the subject of all of these workshops. Step three is you must be the allower of what you've asked for. So our question to you, impertinent as it was, do you think that the first 40 years you were mostly step one-ing? Contrast asking, contrast asking, contrast asking, contrast asking.
Yes, and a great deal of it was also an inner feeling of early suggestion that maybe it's not okay to ask.
But you couldn't help but ask, because life causes you to ask whether you are putting it into words or not. So all of that contrast, can you feel now the huge, powerful, vibrational escrow that you had amassed?
Yeah.
And then in that letting go, and you know, when you're flying through the air, out of control, motorcycle going one way, you going another way, 40 miles an hour, picking up momentum as you go, you sort of have no choice but to let go, do you? It's a sort of forced surrender, isn't it? That's what happened to you. You found yourself in a situation where you had to let go of control because there was no way of perceiving any control. And in letting go of the control, the most amazing thing happened.
So you've precisely answered my question. I was thinking of how to pose it. So it is, again, can you be forced into a state of allowing to where you really have no control over the decision as to whether or not to allow?
Well, that's what we mean when we say this is not Disneyland and we cannot turn this stream off. And the stream's going and it's going where you want to go. And you might as well just give up the fight and go. You might as well just stop trying to prove your worthiness and go. You might as well just stop trying to defend and go. You might as well just let go of the struggle and go. That's the message.
Here's my paddles. Thank you.
We will use them for firewood tonight. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.